I just can't have any social life right now.
Don't worry about it. We're just having coffee. We'll be antisocial.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Damn Fine Cup of Culture. I'm once again at the Rex Cinema in Bern, and I will be talking this month to David Fongela, who's one of the co-directors of the Rex. Hello, David, and welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
About 6 years ago, I had your current co-director, Martin Amrein, also on the podcast, and I want to some extent basically follow up on that. You, as a co-director, you're mostly responsible for the repertory cinema part of the program. The Rex has a repertory cinema part, and it also has kind of new releases, world cinema, independent films. So I mostly want to talk to you about what it's like to basically be in charge of a repertory cinema. But perhaps to begin with, how did you end up in that position? You have a background in filmmaking, right?
Exactly. So everything starts actually at a very young age, because I'm part of a Swiss film family. My mother was continuity and first assistant director. My father was a producer, so I sort of grew up on film sets, both very cinephiles. So I ended up going to cinema with my mother quite a lot. I first programmed an evening at Kino Kunstmuseum, which Cinema Rex became what it is out of Kino Kunstmuseum. When I was 18, that was for my gymnasium, the film night of the gymnasium. That's quite a long time ago. And then I founded a production company called Lomotion in Bern at the age of 21, together with my best friend, Rui Mattare. And I worked there first as a director and editor, and then I started producing around 2012, 13 must have been, and have produced roughly 20 films during the next 10 years. And I also was part of the committee of KinoRex starting in 2008, I think. I was then asked, because there was always one member of the committee should be part of the Bernese film industry, and so they asked me, and I was in this position for 14 years, so I already knew the cinema quite well. And when the information came that Thomas Allenbach would be retiring in 25, I knew that around roughly 3 years before, I decided to step out of the committee in order to prepare myself to maybe be able to be his follower. And that worked out well. I also think the packaging we did with Martina and me as a co-directing candidature worked really well.
I definitely think that from the last year of programming, it very much looks like it all worked out very well, definitely for us, for the cinema goers. For the last 10 years probably, but especially since the pandemic, there have been so many articles and think pieces about how cinema is dying or cinema is already dead. How scary was it to apply for this position, and how scary was it to get it? Were you worried about this aspect of things, or is the Rex healthy enough to basically sustain itself even during these times of cinematic crisis?
So where to start? So I wasn't afraid, because the Cinema Rex, first of all, is a very healthy cinema, thanks to Thomas and the team. I think it really established itself during the last 10 years as the to-go cinema for art house movies, for people also interested in repertory cinema. And then it's also the case that these kind of cinemas who have a real editorial line, who have been able to create some sort of label of trust to their main audience, they're doing well, pretty in Switzerland at least. It's the same in Zurich, Basel, Geneva. I would say Rex is not the kind of cinema that has been hit hardest by the crisis. On the contrary, we have better numbers than we had pre-COVID.
Very cool. Very glad to hear that. Let's perhaps move on to the whole process of coming up with a program for a repertory cinema. Perhaps is it mostly you on your own who comes up with it, or do you have a committee who's involved? And also, what are the challenges involved in coming up with a program?
So it's mostly me, yeah. Well, it's something I can basically just decide on myself, if I want it to be me or if I want to get some help. So looking back at the last year of programming, there were, I think, two retrospectives we took from other festivals. One was from Solothurn about the Jura region, and the other one was the Locarno Film Festival retrospective. We always, every year, basically, also showcase in Bern, or part of it. And the rest was, it's really a mix between things that kind of you feel you have to do, like, I don't know, David Lynch dying, and so kind of makes sense to have a monthly retrospective on his work, or Robert Redford right now. And then other things that, no, there are actually also quite a few programs that I copy from partner cinemas we have, like the Victor Erice retrospective in February was first in December at Film Podium Zürich. And that's a good mix. So it's Victor Erice is a director I really cherish a lot also before, and also had the idea of maybe one day doing something. But when I heard that Zurich is doing it, and I instantly talked with Nicole Reinhardt from Film Podium, and she told me how difficult it was to actually get some rights. And so that's the moment I realized, actually, okay, so there's a lot of work has been done that I can profit from. And that was one of the reasons to also to take this program to Rex, to bring this program to Rex. Another example is the last December program on Yasujiro Ozu, Japanese director, where most of his films are being distributed by Trigon Film, a very important partner, a Swiss distributor that we work with very closely. And they told me, I think 1 year in advance, that they are planning on taking into their catalog 4 newly restored films of Ozu. And so that was kind of the trigger to think about doing this retrospective. So it's really a mix. And next month in May will be actually my first program I really curated totally on my own. It's a thematic one on films told from children's perspective. And that was just a... I don't remember exactly how I came to this idea, but I felt like, okay, that's a sort of a genre that is interesting because, it just offers a lot of possibilities and also makes it possible, and that's maybe also an important point, to showcase a lot of different films from different regions, from different decades. And that's always, well, that ends up being, of course, an important aspect to try to show cinema in its broadest sense. And so I'm also always kind of looking at what have we done this year, what's missing. And then I also try to have a good balance between monthly programs that are really for a broader audience, or let's call it mainstream, like Robert Redford, and programs that will be real discoveries. Like the month before, we had Anna May Wong, which was, I think, a real discovery for many people in the audience. And it was also the first time and there was a retrospective on Anna May Wong's work in Switzerland. So I know that it will attract less people, but I still feel like it's important to... Well, and it's also a little bit... it's also part of our mandate we have from the city of Bern. So we're getting subsidized by the city of Bern with 250,000 Swiss francs per year, only for the repertory cinema. So this money allows us to also have proposition where we know will attract a little bit less audience, but will be a real plus for the variety and diversity of cinema being shown in Bern that would otherwise not be possible. And it's often really a negative correlation, like programs that attract less people are usually the most expensive ones. A good example is the January program on Iranian cinemas, of the 1960s, 70s and 80s mostly. And that was really a very complicated program to find the copies, to get the rights, to select the films. And it's a challenging cinema. It's also, it's a cinema that attracted less audience than, again, say, Robert Redford, where It's really the simplest thing to program. Mm-hmm. All the rights are basically at the same place. You just send out one email, then you have all copies. Every film has German subtitles, and you can just go ahead and you know people will come and enjoy it.
Have there been any films or programs that surprised you, where you, for instance, expected lots of audience and then very few people turned up, or the other way around, where you were surprised that suddenly the cinema was full, even though it was more of a niche program or film?
Well, I'm lucky to say that the second case was more often the case last year. I think the only program I was a little bit surprised how little attendance we had was the Locarno retrospective on called Great Expectations on British post-war cinema. Especially because in Locarno itself, it was packed every screening, and I felt that, okay, people are really happy to discover these films. It's also, so it was a good mix of comedies and heavier films. And, well, that didn't work out well in Bern. I'm not sure if it's maybe, well, there are two main reasons, I think. One is that probably a bigger part of our main audience already saw some of these films in Locarno. And the other one, and I really have to check on that, is that a lot of films didn't have German subtitles. And I'm still trying to find out how much the subtitle situation impacts the numbers of attendees we have.
One thing I was surprised to find over the last year especially is sometimes you have films with a very clear kind of national background, and there's very often these kind of expat communities that then come and see them in larger numbers. For instance, when you showed The Secret Agent, which was not one of the repertory cinema films, but you had a lot of Brazilians from the sound of it. And that was really interesting to see, that basically Bern seems to be a good place for these kind of specific niche audiences.
Yeah, that's right. It's something we take into account, and we're also, like, coming back to the repertory cinema, we also try to work with the embassies of said country, that when we have films from a certain region. Honestly, I'm not sure how much impact these collaborations have. But, well, coming back to the example of Ozu, I think Ozu was really, Japanese cinema was really something that, I don't know, it was just the right time to show these films. So I didn't feel like we had a lot of people with a Japanese background, but for sure people interested in Japanese cinema in a more broader sense.
Have you had any programs that for you were your personal favorites for some reason, and why? I mean, were there programs where you afterwards, or were already beforehand you thought, oh, this is great, finally I can do this, finally I can see these films on a big screen? Or is that what you think every single month?
Well, that's a good point. I try to have that feeling every single month, of course. Well, there are months that are less dear to me. Robert Redford is an example. I'm happy to show these films, but they have no big meaning to me. Well, I think for me, my most important program was my first program, which makes sense, on Jenna Rowlands, because she's really my favorite actress of all time. And John Cassavetes is one of my favorite directors of all time. So that was kind of sadly, her death was a good reason to show these films and to do a program around her work. And then, yeah, I would say Anna May Wong is a good example, because I felt that that's a real discovery for our audience and for Switzerland in general. But again, it was not... General Rowlands was really my idea, like, without copying any pre-existing retrospective. And with Anna May Wong, I actually saw that the Cinémathèque Française did something last year, BFI did something last year, Arsenal Berlin had done a retrospective on her work in 2018, I think. So... yeah, somehow I cannot feel just as proud of having the idea of this retrospective as I had with Jenna Rowlands, maybe, or with next month's program on films from children's perspective that is really totally freely curated.
You also have these kind of special blocks in your program. Usually during summer you have a special program, plus you also have an open-air cinema. What are the kind of considerations that go into these special blocks?
Maybe starting with the open air, this is a selection of films that are, let's say, more mainstream or should appeal to a broader audience. and also films that are available as Blu-ray. That's actually an important fact, because we can't show DCP in the open-air cinema. Then they also, they can't be longer than 2 hours, because otherwise it's getting too late in the evening. So there are quite a few boundaries that help selecting the program. And in the summer, for the summer, so what we're doing is, so we have a monthly retrospective program. But in July and August, we do a double program. It's usually dedicated to an actress or an actor, because it's a good possibility to show, again, quite a variety of different films from different decades, from different countries, ideally. And so last summer, I was looking... That's actually a program I'm pretty proud of, too, because I was also just... I don't remember exactly how I came to this idea, but... So what I decided to do is to have Ingrid Bergman and her daughter Isabella Rossellini, mother and daughter, because I realized that they both shot in different countries, in different languages, and both of their career put together are spanning, I don't remember, 80 years of cinema history. So it was kind of a great possibility to show a real variety of different films over these 2 months.
And I can definitely confirm that also for the audience, that variety is one part of the appeal of these summer programs. I remember a couple of years ago, the Rex did a program on Cate Blanchett, where, you know, you could see Tar one evening, Saw 3 the next evening, and then a small independent art house film that you haven't even heard of before this program. And it's exactly this kind of grab bag, but still kind of thematically connected, or connected by a name, connected by, as you said, an actor, actress, director, which I think is a great joy of this kind of cinema. It's the curation that basically you get with a good cinema, and that's much more difficult to get with streaming, which is often just not curated that tightly, unless you're perhaps talking about someone like Mubi, of course. Let's perhaps turn it around. You've now talked about some of your favorite programs and some of the special programs. Have there been any programs since you started here that you were, for some reason, not so happy with? Or that were the most challenging, perhaps? You already alluded to some of the challenges.
Think of all the programs we did. I'm already starting to lose track. That's maybe a good sign. Well, I think the program I did on Michel Gondry, a French director, where I felt that I was trying to target a younger audience, but afterwards I realized actually that this younger audience doesn't really exist, because the real younger people, they don't care at all about Michel Gondry anymore. And it's actually more my generation, so people in their 40s that grew up with his music videos and have this Michel Gondry thing, that he was such an important figure for me when I started doing film, especially his music videos. I tried to copy his style, and then Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind came out, and everybody was like, wow, what is that? And so I think our main audience, like older people, 50s upwards, they didn't care about Michel Gondry, and younger people neither, so there was not much left. That was an interesting realization, and I can learn from that. So, all good.
I guess that is a challenge even for a cinema like the Rex as well, just finding that younger audience, finding new audiences, because as you said, the average audience that you have is probably 50 plus or even 60 plus. And of course, with the repertory cinema, those are the kind of films also that they might know. I don't know, my impression is that the younger audience seems to be easier to capture, perhaps with topics like, you also have some LGBT series that you've got running, but I think it's a different team that's responsible for those, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then every now and then, for instance, you did a Greenland program, so a program on Greenland film, and the audiences there were surprisingly young at times, but it's at least for me as an audience member, it's difficult to understand what attracts a really young audience. It seems to be a bit of a gamble, or perhaps a bit of a game of luck.
Yes, I would agree to that. No, I really don't know. But one important thing to say is that, so Martina and I, when we start, we talked a lot about this, because everybody working in the cultural sector is asking itself the question, how can we attract this so-called younger audience? And we came to the conclusion that maybe it's not really our main objective, that actually programming for our core audience, the older people, is actually is enough, let's put it like that. And especially, well, I'm going into the extremes, but there's no way we can make our Instagram channel cool. You know, that would be just a... We would have to hire somebody who's just focusing on that. It would need resources and knowledge we just don't have. And also asking myself, like, is that really necessary? Or is it rather... So what we're basically doing is we have a children's program for the really youngest called Rex Kids, with films for children starting at the age of 3, with short film programs. And there the idea is to socialize them with cinema, to get them to have these first cinema experiences. And then it's okay to kind of lose them at a certain teenage age and to hopefully gain them back later, because they were at some point in their life, they were socialized with the big screen. But what I'm also observing is that in general, I think there is actually a younger audience coming back to cinema, because cinema offers this space without social media, where your attention is for 2 hours. You know, you can just focus on, you're in a dark room focusing on the big screen. And it seems to, so there's hope that, they will come back naturally. But it's, I think, also maybe it's less the job of the repertory cinema, but so they will often go to see our newer films. I'm sometimes trying to have some special event-like screenings to attract a younger audience, like the film Hundreds of Beavers we showed last December during the holidays. And that's just a film I discovered online, and everybody was talking about it. And I felt like, okay, it hasn't been shown in Bern, so let's do that. But I also think there are interesting programs in Bern, especially by the Cult Movie Gang, but they program in another cinema at Quinny, really focusing on a younger audience, and they're doing a great job, and I'm also happy for them. So I also think it's also, again, we don't have to just bring everybody to Rex. I think it's already a great thing if we manage to satisfy our main core audience and to have them discover new things. And that's also why I'm pretty confident that, coming back to the crisis thing and how worried I was, I feel that like this older audience that really grew up with cinema, that really have this passion for the big screen, for the next 10-20 years, I know they will still be here, and so should be okay until I get retired. The audience should be there.
Absolutely. So I think I've got one final question for you, but I'm not sure whether you will want to answer it, and that's basically, is there a specific program, or are there a number of programs that are basically your wish programs that you still want to program? If you don't want to say anything because you don't want to curse it, that's also okay. But are there ones where you think, oh, I've totally wanted to do this for a long time?
Not right now. And that's not... It's interesting. Like, before I started the job, so I started to write down all many different possibilities. And interestingly, I haven't done... maybe one or two. The program on Andrea Arnold was one on my list, and well, Anna May Wong actually as well. So I kind of like the fact that it's changing all the time, and then ideas pop up. Again, people die sometimes and open up possibilities for retrospective. Well, the retrospective I would have liked to do myself has already been done before. That was the one on Hal Hartley. Hal Hartley is one of, or if not my favorite director, so Thomas did that. And I will have to wait some years to do it again. But other than that, I'm excited myself to see what opportunities will open, what discoveries I will actually make and program.
Well, from my part, as someone who's a very kind of loyal audience to the Rex, obviously, thank you very much for all the work you've been doing. Thank you for running, I would say, the best and my favorite cinema that I've ever been to. So thanks a lot for that. Thanks a lot for talking to me for the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And as always, thank you very much to our audience, and we will be back very soon with more damn fine cups of culture. Goodbye.
Goodbye.